No, unfortunately, I've only been here for a couple of hours, okay. But yeah, look great from the airplane anyway, yeah.
Never been here before?
No, first time.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the music. How's it changed, the music that you're making now compared to, because I know now is more about the live. Do you write to the live, or do you write for the album, for the single?
I always write for the album, as it were, really. And but like many artists, once you get out live, you do discover a new dynamic, a new life to the songs. And once they're out, they become, I've always thought the people's songs, not mine anymore. So when I play, say, The Drugs Don't Work Tonight or something like that, you really do get a sense of songs, their power and their ability to sort of become part of, if you're lucky, the sort of DNA of a nation, as it were. And some of mine from the past seem to have done that. So, I always go for the record as a piece. I'm very old school like that. I still believe in the album, as it were. I know we're living in an age of the song and the big hit, but I still think things go full circle, and there's nothing like, as an artist, to look at that album and think, oh, there's a body of work there. It's almost like, you're opening up the gallery and you've got 50, 30 works there for people to peruse, to show different angles of yourself as an artist, because I've always found that as a human being on this planet Earth, it's not a one-dimensional experience. It's multifaceted, it's very deep, it's very complex. So I can't really write songs that just cover one emotion. So, there's a lot to do, a lot to cover, and I enjoy trying to do that.
And you're saying the album as a whole piece. Do you focus it? Do you look at it like that? So when you're selecting the songs, do you try and create a story or piece from beginning to end?
In a way, but also try and create little micro movies for each song. So looking back on some of the songs that have lasted over my time, they fitted in. For some reason, A Lucky Man on Urban Hymns fitted in with Bittersweet Symphony, even though actually it's a completely different emotion or a different part of life that the two songs are discussing. Bittersweet's discussing that sense of being on the treadmill, being on the hamster wheel, never being able to get off it, feeling like you were born with very people around you, your environment, haven't got many hopes or aspirations for you, very limited. And how do you break that? How do you break that thing, that environment, your genes, everything that you were born with? How'd you get out of that? Whereas Lucky Man is a pure celebration of love and intimacy with someone that makes you feel liberated and etc. So even though there has to be a link, and I think the link is the soul of the singer and the voice, they still have to live and breathe as things on their own as well. So it's an interesting thing to try and pull off, but I do like it, an album where each one is its own little universe and is different to the other tracks, but has a unifying element.
Yeah, fantastic. And just finally, do you still enjoy, you're going to play the classics tonight, do you still enjoy playing the songs that everyone knows?
Well, my mum went to see Neil Young, I love Neil Young, but she went to see him in, I can't remember, late 70s, early 80s, and she expected to hear Old Man and Heart of Gold, but Neil was in his vocoder stage at that point, and he did the whole show with a vocoder. And I'll never forget my mum's face the next day, the kind of disappointment that she didn't get to hear those songs. And that never left me. That happened 10 years before I was a musician, but the actual feeling of disappointment because you should never underestimate, as a writer, if you've been lucky enough to write songs that people enjoy and have taken to their hearts, you should never underestimate how important they become. And when you go to see a guy or an artist or girl and they don't perform those songs, it can be shattering, because you might have got married to that tune, you might have buried your brother to that song, who knows? So I respect that, but I also, I feel very blessed that I was in the right place at the right time to almost receive these songs and put them into some sort of order and bring them down and be that person. So that is a job not to be messed around with, not to be taken for granted. And I also love my audience, I love my fans as well, I understand them. I've been a fan, I went to see the Roses when I was 15, 16, and the idea that Stone Roses wouldn't have played Waterfall or She Bangs the Drums or something then would have blown my mind. So I still find a lot of you know, and again, I've not played gigs properly for 3 or 4 years, so I've got plenty of juice built up. So, you know, I'm way, way from being jaded about any part of this industry. You know, it's all exciting again. And I think it's good for the young people to realise that you can be 44 and still hungry, still excited. And I'm going to show some of the younger people tonight what it's about, because unfortunately, and this is nothing to do with the lineup here, the lineup's good, but generally a lot of things are becoming so studied now and so controlled that the element of danger is going out of rock and roll, and I'm one of the people who are going to bring it back.